The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
A high of 12 tomorrow with winds at 13 miles per hour. These two teams know a thing or two about harsh conditions, but who will outperform in them to advance? The Bills and Patriots split their regular season meetings, and now it's time for round numero tres. Okay, Dominique is still here, and so is Ryan Clark, and also a guy who knows a thing or two about winning with the Patriots, I would say, right? Rob Ninkovich. So, Rob, let's start with you. Who do you think is going to win this game? Is it the Patriots or the Bills?
I'm going with the Patriots, and I know RC and Dominique are going to say, oh, Rob's going to go with the Patriots because he's a Patriot. Well, that's not true.
Listen, but it's a good reason.
It's a good reason.
We like loyalty around here.
But another reason why I'm going with that is because the Patriots beat the Bills in Buffalo when the weather was poor, and it was windy, and it was a little chilly. And now there's, you know, you got Josh Allen going on record saying, yeah, we don't know the reason why we're not that great in cold weather, and my feet go numb. Like, there's just
circulation issues.
Yeah, like, let's not ask Bart Scott about, you know, how to fix those issues.
So, but or should we?
Yeah, exactly. But, so this is my thing. When the game is going to be freezing cold, we know that, right? It's a mentally tough thing. It's a running game. It's going to be who's the tougher team when it comes to just handing the football off. And we've seen this before. The Patriots didn't even have to throw a pass in the last matchup when it was windy in Buffalo. So it's the playoffs. What does Bill do in the playoffs? He game plans. He does the best game planning in the history of coaching that we have seen throughout the coaching in general. He's the best at ever doing it. So the Patriots are going to have a great game plan for the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, and it's going to be cold. So put your jacket on, get by the little heaters, and I don't want to see guys huddled around the heaters and doing this with their hands. It's a football game. Go out there. It's cold. Okay, go make plays. Go fly around. Keep yourself warm. Go run around. That's so the Patriots win.
Okay. Nico, everybody hates playing in the cold, right? I played for Pittsburgh, and I never played anywhere warm, and there was never a day where I woke up and was like, I am so glad that these are these freezing temperatures that we get to play in. So it don't matter if you play for Buffalo, if you play for New England, all of those people hate cold. We're talking about Josh Allen having no circulation in his toes. Well, Mac Jones is going to wear a scuba suit. Like, that's what the New England Patriots quarterbacks do. He's going to be in a scuba. He's going to be Scuba Steve. And so when we think about this game, you can't think back to that Monday night game where the New England Patriots were able to win with only throwing three passes. That was also a wintry hell. The way the winds were blowing, they were sideline to sideline. Josh Allen, he also couldn't throw the football as accurately as he normally does in that type of weather. But the New England Patriots didn't even try. And also look at the New England Patriots throughout the last month of the season. You lose to the Indianapolis coach, you lose to the Buffalo Bills, you lose to the Miami Dolphins. Mac Jones is in the bottom of the league in QBR since it's become the winter. The New England Patriots have changed as the team. The New England Patriots aren't playing the dominant defense that we saw them play early on in the season. They aren't dominating teams physically up front the way they did throughout the early part of the season or throughout their six-game run where they were undefeated. And so there's so many things that are different about both of these teams, but none more different than this. Josh Allen is a superstar. We all know that. Since the second half of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, he's played that way. He's used his legs. He's used his arms. And Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, has also called plays and schemed in that fashion to make him the focal point of what they do, but also allowing Singletary to run, allowing Zach Moss to run. This is the better football team. This is the football team whose time it is, at least right now, in the AFC East. And I don't care what the weather is, Scuba Steve, Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, whoever you walk out there, the Buffalo Bills are going to take the win.
Yeah, the Bills are going to pull this one out, in part because the biggest strength that you would think you have is that Bill Belichick mind against Josh Allen, because they're going to have to create turnovers. They're going to have to create a short field in order to win this game.
They're
going to have
though.
To give Mac Jones. Yeah, you would think so, but they haven't been against Mac Jones. Mac Jones got 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in their past 4 times playing against each other.
You said Mac Jones or Josh Allen?
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Josh Allen. Josh Allen got 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in the last 4 times that they played each other. So they haven't been able to create those turnovers. And the one time that the Pats were able to beat the Bills was in that windstorm, which was not a modern football game. Like, that is going to happen once every 5 years. It's not going to happen again. That was 1950s football. Bill Belichick is going to win a lot of 1950s football games. And no matter how cold it is, we're not going to have one of those this weekend. And the Bills, frankly, because that game was in prime time that night, or that win game, a lot of us started to think and talk about it like, man, Bill Belichick sure does own these guys. Actually, in recent history, the Bills have owned the Patriots, and I don't see this changing, especially since if your big advantage is that it's cold outside and your quarterback is from down south and he don't like the cold either. Like, it don't seem like he is Tom right. Brady. He's not looking for the tuck game. He's not looking for the snow game. Tom is gone. Your quarterback is a sun boy, and he don't like it neither.
How about this? Let's stop living in the past and talking about the Colts beat the Patriots. Let's talk about the future. This is the playoffs.
I like to live in the past in that regard.
I don't like living in the past. This is the NFL. Not for long if you don't play well. So I think the Patriots are going to play better. And guess what? This is another thing that it's hidden. Nobody talks about it. In cold games, the number one thing affected is the kicking game. The better punter is with the Patriots. The field position battle. All those things come into
effect. Can we go to the next topic?
If the Patriots have better field position than Buffalo,
we're done with this
and they have the better kicker,
you start grabbing for the punter as your advantage,
hey, that's football.
No, you are desperate.
Listen, it is
great. Phase game, 3 phases. There's a 3-phase game.
Also, I think, Dominique, I feel like you're underestimating the weather here. I mean, it's not just going to be cold. It's going to be freezing, okay?
Yeah.
And Josh Allen, historically speaking, has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns when the kickoff weather is below freezing, which it certainly will be. So,
that's probably,
Bill Belichick,
that's probably
you know, is going to game plan for this.
We don't know.
And it could come down to the kickoff.
Well, go ahead, RC, my bad.
No, I think the one thing we have to remember about Josh Allen when we talk about his QBR in cold games, or you talk about interception to touchdown ratio, it's also because in a game like we saw in primetime where Mac Jones only threw the ball 3 times, Josh Allen threw it 20 times. It's because the team that he plays for understands that those type of weather conditions don't necessarily negate that you should try to throw the football. And so in a lot of these situations, he's throwing the football in weather or in some times where other teams won't even try to do it.
Yeah, well, one of the keys to winning sometimes is avoiding errors, so maybe he should try to throw less if he knows that a lot of them are going to be intercepted potentially. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Ryan, you're sticking with us the rest of the way, so let's keep it rolling, gentlemen.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
This weekend will be the first time Tom Brady has taken on the Eagles in the playoffs since he lost to them in Super Bowl 52. But obviously, this Eagles team is way different from that one. They have a new coach in Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Brady's scenario also very different. He's a Buck and his team are the defending Super Bowl champs. Plus, they are expected to get a lot of reinforcements back for the game, including Leonard Fournette and also Lavonte David. Okay, Dominique and Ryan Clark here with us. So, Neek, you think that the Bucs should be on upset alert?
I mean, I like the way you guys worded that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not betting on the Eagles, but I do think that the way...
There's a chance.
I do think that the way that the Eagles play could present a problem for everyone, frankly. It's similar to how the 49ers play in that they have an aggressive rushing attack They have an outstanding offensive line, and that's going to shorten the game. And given the fact that the Bucks have a lot of injuries on defense across their defensive line and in their linebackers and, frankly, in their secondary, a lot of injuries all over that team, I think they could be susceptible to those type of issues. And if the Eagles are able to put together a couple early scoring drives – forcing the Bucks to become more one-dimensional, I think that they can shorten the game, the number of possessions, and be in position to pull off an upset. But I do have a hard time thinking about Tom Brady versus Jalen Hurts with the game on the line at the end. And I hope Jalen Hurts don't take this as no disrespect. He's had a good season. This is not meant as disrespect. But frankly, there ain't but maybe two quarterbacks in the league that I would say against Tom Brady in the clutch I feel comfortable about. So if their game plan, they run it to a T, they don't make any mistakes, they're able to shorten the game, I do think the Eagles are going to be able to give the Bucks a better game than we anticipate.
I think the game could be tough, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not on upset alert. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were rolling last year coming into the playoffs. It's a little different than what they were, but they're talking about getting Lavonte David back. I think having Leonard Fournette back is huge, what he could do both the pass game and the run game. And I do love the rushing attack of the Philadelphia Eagles. Once Nick Sirianni finally realized who they were, that's kind of when Jalen Hurts and this offense were able to take off a little bit because they had an identity. And that can shorten the game. But when you get into the playoffs, it's about stars. It's about players being able to go out and make plays. It's about the Rob Gronkowskis. It's about the Tom Brady's, the Leonard Fournette's, the Mike Evans. And you think about what this defense did last year, what they turned into. Shaq Barrett is coming off of COVID protocols. Lavonte David is coming off of the IR. These were dudes that were sideline to sidelines and absolute menaces. This is also when we saw Devin White step up last year and become one of the better linebackers in the NFL. And I think we'll start to see some of that championship pedigree come out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know the Philadelphia Eagles are a team that has fought and scraped and fight and gotten their way into the playoffs. They're also 0-6 against teams that'll be playing going forward in January. They're not a team that has beaten good football teams. They're not a team that has pressured the tops in the NFL. And I think we'll see some of that stuff come out this weekend. Can the Philadelphia Eagles be better in the future? Absolutely. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not on upset alert. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are working on things they need to work on this week for the next week of the playoffs, which they plan to be playing in.
So basically it's just another day of practice, you're saying.
Don't you do that, Charlie. Charlie, don't you do that. You put words into my mouth. That is not what I said. What I said was they are going to be working on some things this week that they know they'll need next week because they will win the game and be playing. It's not practice. It's not a bye week. This is important.
All right.
You my dog, RC. I'm always on your side. However, working on things this week for next week sound like sure as hell sound like practice to me.
Thank you.
That's not playing a game. They out here, they testing.
No, dog.
They experimenting.
Dog, this is not. No, man, this is not rehearsal. It is not a rehearsal. It's a real game. I'm just saying that they're going to win, right? And so the things that they're going to do this week, they're going to take to the next week. And the things that Philadelphia do this week, that you have to take the next year.
I agree with you. I agree with you in the fact that this feels like a bowl game for the Eagles. Like, this is the reward you got to the game.
You might have just given Jalen Hurts a whole lot of ammo. Jalen, if you're listening, maybe you got a little more motivation to go in there and make some things happen in Tampa Bay.
That is, I hate to burst your bubble, Charlie, but that ain't going to help. RC talking trash on First Take. That is not gonna block Vita Vea. That is not gonna sack Tom Brady.
No, it's not.
Gonna get him no points. It's not gonna do none of that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Steelers are 12.5-point underdogs to the Chiefs this week, and this is the largest underdog Big Ben has ever been in any game he has started in his NFL career. But one of Ben's favorite receivers, Diontae Johnson, says he actually really likes the position they're in. Listen.
I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, huh? Because remember all that stuff you saying now, so I'm not, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Ryan, your Steelers feeling pretty good. What do you think?
He don't believe that. He don't believe that. He don't believe that.
Like, what do they have to lose? It's kind of a nice feeling. It's probably very liberating, right?
Charlie, it is probably liberating. You probably feel free to go out and do whatever you can do. But the last time they played this team, they got taken to the woodshed. See, it's one thing if you have to guess how you match up against someone, right? Like if you're the big underdog, if you're Rocky fighting Drago and you go in there and you're like, I don't really know how I'll fare. I saw Apollo go out there and do it, and obviously he didn't fare very well, but maybe I can do better, right? So when you watch these other teams play the Kansas City Chiefs, you can look at the film and say, Patrick wasn't great this game. The defense hasn't played as good the last two games as they did on the 7-8 game winning streak. You can say all those things if you hadn't actually been on the field with them, if they hadn't actually punched you in your face and you decided to not punch back. And so Now that you've had that experience and you realize there was no Travis Kelce and you realize you couldn't tackle Byron Pringle and you couldn't tackle Derek Gore and you couldn't move the football offensively, you got to kind of say, okay, when I watch that film, I don't feel like it's a once we win. When I watch that film, I don't feel like that's actually a bandwagon people will want to jump on. And don't get me wrong, I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to be in this position. At least I picked them to win the last two games against the Browns and the Ravens. And obviously some other people did some stupid stuff.
Monday you saying that you didn't believe they were going to be in this position. I think that you're running this back a little bit, aren't you?
No, I said I picked them that they would win the games they were supposed to win. I didn't think the Colts would go down there and trick it off against
Charlie,
the Jaguars.
On you today, okay. Man.
No,
Charlie,
so like,
on you today.
Yeah, it was Charlie killing me, right, bro? What type of friend? But what I'm saying is the Pittsburgh Steelers are here because they accomplished what they did, what they had to do. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are not a playoff team. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't a team that can move forward. The Pittsburgh Steelers aren't a team that when you put the film on, you watch every phase of football and go, you know what? This is a winner. Mike Tomlin, Hall of Fame coach. Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Fame quarterback. Will this team enter the playoffs because of a defense that kept them in games? But this is where the buck stops. I'm still going to have my helmet behind me. I'm still going to be proud about where I got to play. But we're going to all be watching the next week of the playoffs together.
Yeah, this is going to be the last spin of the year for your terrible towel. It's going to be this weekend, but I do think that and your Rocky IV reference, I do think that they are Apollo Creed. The problem is they are not Rocky. They think they are Apollo Creed. They are Carl Weathers, and they was Apollo Creed early in the movie, and they think they're going to come back and be Action Jackson.
Living in America,
second part
baby.
Of the movie. You cannot be, just because you look like Carl Weathers, don't mean you can be Action Jackson. It's going to be a problem out there, and that bandwagon got a rickety wheel on it, and I ain't hopping on it. So
I don't want to be too disrespectful.
They're a football team, a well-coached team.
That was very disrespectful.
Okay, well, here's a chance for you to redeem yourself from being disrespectful.
Ahead,
I mean, you say there's no way this is they're going to get a victory, but will they at least keep it close, Nick?
I mean, I think that they would. They're 12-point underdogs. I think that sounds like about right. Yeah, they might get it down to 10 or something like that. You know why? Because this is Trick'em week. This is the week where you go all the way to the back of the playbook. You blow the dust off that thing, and you run flea flickers, end of rounds, double passes, triple passes. They're going to steal some points, and they're a good defense. They'll create a turnover here or there.
Defensively,
they'll keep it close, but they're not going to win.
I think defensively the Pittsburgh Steelers play much better this game than they did last game. I truly do. I believe that it's going to be a much more competitive football game. It's going to be a closer football game than what we saw a few weeks ago. I just think in the end the Kansas City Chiefs are the better football team. The Kansas City Chiefs have the better players. The Kansas City Chiefs have the bigger stars. It's going to take the Cam Haywards on defense. It's going to take the T.J. Watts, the Minkah Fitzpatricks, and all of those guys to even play above what they've played the entire season to win this football game. And in the end, the Kansas City Chiefs are just too much. And, you know, me and Dom, we like to have fun. We like to say crazy things and we joke. But the truth is this. When you don't have the people in the NFL, you don't win. Is Mike Tomlin an excellent coach? Yes. Should Mike Tomlin be the last black coach standing? No. But the reason he is because he's never had a losing season. Yes. No matter if it was Duck Hodges, no matter if it was Charlie Batch, he found ways to win football games. This is just one they're not good enough to win.
If that is not a microcosm for America, I don't know what is, that you got to be among the greatest coaches ever to be the last black man standing as a coach in the NFL. But I do think that, to be fair to them, they can't play as bad on defense as they did last time. So you saying they're going to play better, like, that's not saying that
golly,
much.
Dog.
But when I imagine this game, there are a few ways that it can go. And none of them, there's one way that I think that the Steelers could win. They can't win a shootout. I think if the game is close at the end, I have more confidence in Patrick Mahomes, frankly, than this version of Ben Roethlisberger at the end. It's going to have to be a turnover fest, and the Chiefs are going to have to beat themselves, which I don't really see happening.
Yeah, more than likely not. So I think it's safe to say we can all assume this will more than likely be Ben's last game. So if that is the case, he will be only one of three quarterbacks since 1950 to play in the playoffs in both their rookie and their final season in the league. There's only two others who have done that. Dan Marino and someone else I don't like to speak of too often, which is Andrew Luck. Man, what a waste of talent there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. Okay, you know what? Let's just keep it moving, guys. I don't need to get in my feels right now.
He looks so happy.
The Cowboys are going to take on the 49ers on Sunday, and while it was once trendy to pick the 49ers in the upset, it now seems to be becoming mainstream. Although the Cowboys have had a lot of success in the regular season, a lot of people point to the team's lack of identity from week to week as a reason to not trust the star. This week, Jerry Jones said his expectations are Super Bowl or bust, and now, with all eyes on Dallas, Dak is talking about the pressure.
I don't know necessarily why people have labeled the word pressure as such a bad thing, honestly. I think it creates high expectations and high standards, and it usually creates high results. So for me, it's just about being who I am, staying true to that, knowing who I am, preparing the same way that I have and that I do, trusting the people around me, trusting the play callers and my preparation, and then just going out there and playing the game that I love without any hesitation.
Okay, RC, the Cowboys are still favored to win the game, but how worried should they be?
I mean, they should absolutely be worried. The Dallas Cowboys aren't the same team we watched play the first 6-7 weeks of the season, and they're playing the most consistently true-to-themselves team in football. When Kyle Shanahan walks into the stadium, he knows who the hell the San Francisco 49ers are, and he never lets you get him out of character. He never panics. He's not the guy that gets punched in the face and he starts windmill fighting. He's not that person. He's a guy that gets punched in the face, and he wipes it off. He puts his hands back up, and then he starts to swing. And we saw that when they were down 17-0 to the Los Angeles Rams. This didn't turn into the Houston Oilers run and shoot with Warren Moon. No, they continued to run the football. They continued to get the ball in Debo Samuel's hands. They continued to run the boot game. And then when Jimmy Garoppolo had to make some plays at the end, he was able to do that, but it was still the usual suspects he was using. And that's what you're going to see from this team this week. You're going to see physicality up front on both sides of the football field. You're going to see a defense that tries to prevent the big play and the offense that wants to bludgeon you, and also they have Trent Williams back. And with all of those things being said, their ceiling is not where the Dallas Cowboys' ceiling is. They don't have the Dak Prescotts, right? They don't have the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Amari Coopers, the CD Lambs. On defense, they don't have the DeMarcus Lawrence. Obviously, they have Bosa, you have Armstead, but they don't have Lawrence and Gregory. They don't have the Micah Parsons. They don't have the Trayvon Diggs. They're not turning the football over at the rate the Dallas Cowboys have been. If the Dallas Cowboys play to the ceiling of their talent, they're the scariest team to play in the conference. But the reason that we are doubting them, the reason that people think this game is going to be close, is because they often have an identity crisis. Mm-hmm. We don't know which team is going to show up. We don't see that consistency, but we see that with San Francisco. I still have Dallas winning this game.
In the 49ers, the way that they play offensively, it eliminates to some degree the strength of the Dallas Cowboys is their pass rush. It's like a straight drop back pass rush. And the 49ers are not going to give you too many opportunities to do that unless you're down by a lot. And when you started, RC, you were talking about throwing punches and how you react. And that made me think about something that like means a lot to you. You're an MMA guy with the DC and RC podcast. And I was thinking about the 49ers.
Thanks for the shout out.
They yeah, nice are, plug. Oh, yeah, yeah. Download, rate, review, all that stuff. But the 49ers, they are jiu-jitsu fighter. That's what they are. Like, they are out there.
And they just take it to the ground?
Yeah, they are not going to be pretty necessarily. They are waiting for you to slip up and leave a hole so that you think you are in advantage. And next thing you know, oh, you on your back and he got you in a rear naked choke. And that is what they're going to try to do to the players like Micah Parsons. Because Micah Parsons is fast and aggressive and he's playing in his first playoff game. And he is more than likely, and this is not a criticism of him, more than likely he is going to overplay things. And that is what the 49ers are counting on. So I think the key to the Cowboys winning this game, honestly, is their offense playing well early. Because I'm not sure that there is an answer defensively for the 49ers if the 49ers are playing well. I'm not sure that the Cowboys are as talented as their defense is. Their defense is built to stop modern NFL offenses. And the 49ers, they ain't really that. They're giving you something a little different. So if the Cowboys can get out to an early lead and force Jimmy G to have to work from a pocket and allow their three incredible pass rushers to get after him and give Trayvon Diggs opportunity after opportunity to get an interception, that is where they're most comfortable. Otherwise, they might end up in a triangle choke, and it's going to be a short, ugly fight.
Yeah, Dominique, when are you going to go on the podcast? I feel like you'd be the perfect guest, right?
I know, right? This is too good.
They scare me. Them MMA guys scare me. I don't know. They crazier than us football guys. We got a little bit of sense. They don't got none.
A little bit of sense? You think you have a little bit of sense? I don't know about that. I'm just joking. But, hey, Ryan, you know, we talk about the identity crisis of the Cowboys. Which team are you going to get? So which team do you feel most confident in the NFC advancing in the playoffs?
Well, I think are you asking between the 49ers and the Cowboys, Charlie?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, if the Cowboys can play to the level we expect them to, I mean, they could be an option for you. Or do you take somebody else?
Yeah, it's hard to go against the Green Bay Packers right now, given
but
their resume.
But not the Packers, not the Packers. Come on, someone else.
Come on, Charlie.
That's too easy.
Come on with this sloppy question. You'll be amending your question later.
I did amend my question. You're right.
Now, you know, like you look at these. So if you look at the teams, and you're talking about teams playing to their top level, right? Playing at their elite, then you'd have to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if you can't pick the Green Bay Packers. When you look at, you know, their quarterback, right? You look at Tom Brady and the things that he's done throughout his career, but also his numbers this year are ridiculous. We've spent so much time talking about Aaron Rodgers, whether it was the saga during the summer or the great play during the season with Devontae Adams, that we've overlooked that Tom Brady basically leads in every major category at the quarterback position. And now you get playoff Lenny back. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski has played his best ball down the end of the stretch of this season. Levante David returns. Shaq Barrett returns. And you think about what this team looked like as they hit their stretch run last year. If they could get in that same position, and you got a dude that's been to a decade's worth of Super Bowls, you have to believe that they can find ways to win. You know, and the way that the NFC is set up right now, no team truly should be scared of anyone, right? The Dallas Cowboys shouldn't walk into the stadium scared of the 49ers because they should feel like they could beat them. But the 49ers should feel the same way. Same with the Cardinals, the Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The only team you look at in the NFC and you say, you know what? If they got to the Super Bowl, I'd be extremely surprised, is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think you're right about Brady. I changed my non-existent non-existent MVP vote from Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady because I believe that Aaron Rodgers' saga, like, drew our attention to him, and his amazing passes got him a lot of cred. But if you watch what happened this season. It seems like what Tom Brady has done is slightly more impactful and impressive on his team. But I think I would go a different direction because I'm going with the Cowboys. Because in the playoffs, there are kind of, it seems like in recent history, there are two things that matter most in the playoffs. Getting pressure with four and elite quarterback play. I feel like the Bucs have both sometimes, but their two best pass rushers are just coming back and we're not sure how good they are. Yeah. And their offense is currently trying to remake itself. So Tom Brady, I'm pretty sure he's going to show up and be the Brady that we know and respect, even though last year in the playoffs, he wasn't as good as we expect him to be. So I don't know. I think the question is what Dak shows up for the Cowboys, because I think their pass rush will be there. And the question for the Bucs is, can this defense get back to around the level they were at last year? But right now, I feel more comfortable or more confident in the Dak defensive pass rush combo than I do in the Brady and the pass rush combo in Tampa Bay.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom Brady shows us time and time again that he knows how to win.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, so while Tom Brady is known as being one of the best winners of all time, he's not really seen as being the best loser either. Talking to media ahead of the Bucs-Eagles matchup, Brady was asked about his loss in Super Bowl 52 when he walked off the field without shaking the hand of winning quarterback Nick Foles, and how Eagles fans often point to it as Brady being a sore loser.
How aware are you? Those fans are obsessed with you not shaking Nick Foles' hand after that game. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. I've shaken Nick's hand plenty of times, though, so I have a lot of respect for Nick, and you know, I try to be a good sport as best I can. I know it doesn't always look like that because sometimes I get a little pissed out there, but for the most part, I try to be a good sport.
I love his response. I'm not. He has clearly other things to worry about. But, gentlemen, also of note, Brady did not also shake Foles' hand when the Bucs lost to the Bears last season, and that was the infamous game. We all forget about this one where Brady forgot it was fourth down. So, Dominique, does Brady get a pass for how he handles losing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he knows something about Nick Foles. Maybe Nick Foles don't wash his hands enough or something. I don't know. It seems like that's the dude that he always avoided. Like, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I feel like the criticism of people, how people handle themselves after the game, like, to me, it feels like it's only reserved for people that like, the media in general or fans don't like. Like, they're looking for a way to criticize somebody. They're like, oh, we'll pounce on him for not, like, handling this properly. Like, it's a grown man in the NFL. If you don't feel like shaking hands, don't shake hands. And honestly, like, I think it's better. I do it all the time. When my kids really get on my nerves, like really, really, really get on my nerves, I walk away. I go somewhere else in the house. I go to the basement, and I come back later when I'm in a better state of mind because I don't know what's going to happen next. But I know it's likely to not be good. And maybe that's Tom Brady. Like, you know what? I'm going to get criticized for not shaking Nick Foles' hand, but if I have to go shake this man's hand and look him in his eye and he tell me good game to my face after beating me, I don't know what I'm going to do. So the best thing for me to do is go to the locker room. So I'm proud of Tom Brady for showing the maturity to pull himself out of one of those situations.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's like this. The scrutiny on the handshake is actually pretty stupid. Like, that's not a rule. Yeah. Right? Like, we're not in Little League. You remember in Little League when you'd play and then they'd line you up
on the out-of-bounds line
and then everybody walked by? That ain't the NFL, right? Like, every game, like, you know, it's this new thing where everybody got to be friends and we're all going to jersey swap every single game and people texting each other, hey, man, look, I can get your jersey after the game. Can we take it? Like, that's not what it has to be, right? We have now gotten used to kind of the unspoken, nonverbal tradition that quarterbacks shake hands. Like, some of these quarterbacks don't even need their hand shook, right? If you're the third string quarterback, I ain't necessarily got to shake your hand. I didn't know you was going to play anyway, right? This is normally mutual respect between two dudes who understand each other, know what the other one has gone through, and say, you know what? They played a good game. I want to go out there and shake their hand and meet them. You know, Dom mentioned DC and RC. You know, I always ask DC, hey, man, like when y'all sit out there and punch each other in the face that whole time and you around there kicking each other, got each other in leg locks and guillotines, right? And you elbowing me in the face. How in the hell do y'all hug afterwards? And DC goes, well, I usually only did that when I won. Now, luckily for him, he only lost like three times, so he didn't have to act ugly more than that. But that's kind of what happens to Tom, right? Tom actually isn't focused on the wins and the losses. He's usually focused on himself, right? He's focused on how he feels. The Chicago Bears game was embarrassing for Tom Brady. Tom Brady was in the moment of, I just did something that helped us lose this game, or that lost this game for us. When you lost the Super Bowl, he absolutely went nuts, but he was outplayed by Philadelphia and outplayed by Nick Foles, or at least Nick Foles was able to win and be the MVP. I have been at the Super Bowl and lost. It ain't the same like losing at other games, right? When you lose the Super Bowl, not only is the season over, but it's freaking confetti everywhere. Nobody likes confetti that's not in their colors. Also, they let the other team's people on the field. So now you watching wives and girlfriends and children, they running out to hug daddy. They running out to hug sons and the hug
ain't,
brothers.
Ain't made a tackle.
They ain't letting your family on the field. Yeah, they ain't come to console you. So you don't want to be out there? No way. So I'm not mad at Tom. We worry about the wrong things, but the same thing is this. The same way we let Tom, I let Tom off the hook for this, it's some other people who need to understand that when Cam Newton is pissed off because Chris Harris Jr. behind him talking crap, that y'all should have left him the hell alone too.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And today, as well as all weekend long, we at ESPN will be celebrating the life and the legacy of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Our own Michael Wilbon penned this essay as part of ESPN's celebration of Dr. King Weekend, which highlights MLK's influence and on sports and the NBA. It's a legacy that will never be forgotten.
Lift every voice and sing.
It wasn't a move that needed the blessing of marketers. Professional basketball's biggest stars already had a relationship with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that was both enduring and multi-layered. When Bill Russell sat in the first row at the National Mall on August 28, 1963 for the I Have a Dream speech, Russell did so at the invitation of Dr. King. When a group of prominent black men gathered in Cleveland on June 4, 1967, at the request of Jim Brown to, among many purposes, support Muhammad Ali, who refused to serve in Vietnam, it included established football champions Bobby Mitchell and Willie Davis, but anchoring the group on the front left of the picture is Russell. On the front right is Lew Alcindor, not yet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and still a student at UCLA. And behind the scenes, famously supporting Ali's protest of joining the war, was Dr. King. When the Martin Luther King Federal Holiday Commission convened in the mid-1980s, David Stern, the NBA's new commissioner, was a member. There is nothing casual or incidental about the NBA's relationship with Dr. King, and it became more or less formalized on January 20, 1986, when the NBA staged its first MLK Day, featuring, of course, basketball games, but also dozens of community events across the country. There have been any number of big games and flashy finishes on court in the subsequent 35 years, perhaps even obscuring the depth and significance between the league and Dr. King. While the track record is hardly perfect, It is professional basketball, which historically has been probably the closest thing America has to a true meritocracy. More than business, education, science, technology, engineering, among mainstream industries, professional basketball, and therefore the NBA, has become the place where a black man's success and achievement are most likely to be rewarded, from the court to the boardroom.
Facing the rising sun.
Surely upper mobility, no matter where in the culture achieved, was part of Dr. King's dream, and worthy of celebration again this Monday, when the NBA, mindful of its continuing relationship with a man who for many of us may be America's greatest leader, again pays homage.
And be sure to watch ESPN all holiday weekend long as we continue to honor Dr. King. And also, do not forget, on Monday, the crew is back. Molly, Stephen A., Michael Irvin, they will be in the building, and you know they're going to have a whole lot to say. So thank you to all of you for tuning in with us today. Thanks for all the guys who came on the show. I'm Charlie Arnold, and we will see all of you later. Enjoy your weekend and all the games.